Greetings, Nebraska, and welcome to your Nebraska Volleyball Show. This week, special time, Tuesday, 7 o'clock, just after the Troy Dannon, Nebraska Athletic Director Show. My name is John Baylor, soon to be joined by the star of this program. That would be the undefeated head coach of Nebraska Volleyball at 26-0, Danny Busboom Kelly. All right, what's on for this week? Thursday night, the Huskers host Iowa. Finally, back at home, the Big Red in the Devaney Center, hottest ticket in town. Iowa's 14-14, 5-11 in the conference. However, they have played 13 five-set matches this year. Iowa is 4-9 in five-setters. Imagine if that were reversed. And get this, in the Big Ten, Iowa has played 9 five-set matches and gone 3-6. If Iowa had just gone 6-3 in the Big Ten in fifth sets, kaboom. I mean, they would be right there potentially for an NCAA tournament bid. They have gone five sets with Oregon. They lost at Oregon. They lost at Michigan State. They lost at Michigan. They won at home versus Rutgers. They lost at Northwestern. They won at Illinois. They lost at number 18, Indiana. They won versus Northwestern. And they lost at number 20, Minnesota. And then on Saturday, it's a 5 p.m. late afternoon start. The Big Red against Indiana, currently number 16 RPI. That means potentially, if the season were over now and the selection committee were to use the RPI when determining what the seeds would be, it would be Nebraska and Indiana in a regional semi, potentially, if both teams were to advance through the first weekend. Indiana, the number 16 RPI team, the number 17 team in the AVCA poll. They're 21-5, 12-4 in the conference. Looks like Steve Aird, head coach in his eighth year, is going to get Indiana finally to the NCAA tournament. He's been very, very close. In fact, good reason for him to be ticked off. He didn't get in a couple years back. Well, with that, let us bring in Nebraska's undefeated head coach in her first year, Danny Busboom Kelly. Good evening.
Hello.
How are you doing, coach?
I'm doing good. For sure.
Coach, you sound like you just realized this whole thing was about to happen and we were about to have this Husker Volleyball Show, but you're still excited.
Oh, of course. Always excited for the Husker Volleyball Show.
Do you get tons of feedback? I mean, some people want to comment about the games, but do you get most of your feedback based on this program and the things that come across over the air during this 1 hour each week?
Not a lot of feedback, luckily. I get a lot of feedback other places, though.
Like where? Grocery store? Online?
Family, online, yeah. You know, family loves to chime in.
What's the family saying? Let's start with your mom and dad. What are Bonnie and Gene talking about regarding the team? Are they happy with things or kind of disappointed?
They're pretty happy. So they're loving it. All positive stuff.
Now, Gene was saying opening weekend that Penn State was a lot better than Nebraska. Is he warmed up to this team?
He has warmed up to this team. That's funny. I kind of forgot about that, but he did say that. Wow, they look a lot better than you guys. Were his exact words.
Is he your biggest critic? What member of the family is your biggest critic?
Ooh, I don't know. I'd probably say both are in different ways. My dad with sports, mom with everything else.
All right, that's Gene and Bonnie, and they're going to be there Thursday night. They're lucky they know you because it's tough to get into the Devaney.
Exactly. If they didn't know me, they do have season tickets, so.
But those can be revoked. It's all about family harmony.
Exactly.
All right. Meanwhile, you got to take your husband and your son Boone on this trip to Los Angeles. Think that was helpful?
You know, I don't say it was helpful, but it certainly is great for. Family morale, and you know, I know long trips are a little tough on the three-year-old, so it's like, let's bring him, let's see how it goes. He went to Nashville, but that was the first game of the year, so I felt like there wasn't a lot of video to watch. It wasn't quite the type of preparation as it is now. And anyways, long story short, he did great, we played great, I felt good, so he'll probably get invited back again.
All right, Coach, we want to talk about this fabulous Los Angeles trip. It started with UCLA on Friday night. I mean, just the history in Pauley Pavilion. I mean, you yourself had been to Los Angeles as a coach during your 5 years with Nebraska from 2012 to 2017, an assistant coach, but you had never played in Pauley Pavilion before. What was it like in this, you know, one of the, you know, museums of college sports?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And just the campus and being able to stay on campus right next to the arena, just super convenient. But I thought it was fun to play in Poly Pavilion. We had a great crowd, and there was a lot of Husker fans, which made it, you know, feel a little bit like home. But of course, the weather wasn't very good, so that was a bummer. Other than that, though, it was great.
Meanwhile, in the first three sets, let's talk about your side out percentage. You hit 55%, 56%, and 44%, which is your lowest side out percentage for the year, just a little bit lower than set two against Kentucky way back in late August in Nashville. Was it something UCLA was doing, or was just Nebraska having an off night running their offense?
Well, I thought UCLA played great, and their middles, particularly Singletary, was having a really great night blocking and kind of causing us some fits. And then I think our rhythm got disrupted, and we just needed a little time to get it back. But luckily, the disruption didn't last very long, and we were back to humming in game four.
So you don't think there was anything tactically that UCLA was doing that potentially a future opponent could borrow?
No, I don't think so. I think it was just they were playing really well, and I think they scouted us like every other team scouts us. And, you know, a lot of times, even when somebody scouts us great, our really good is still as good or better than the opponent's really good. So we can get away with some things. But if we're not at our top-notch performance, somebody can catch us a little bit.
Maggie Lee and Sheridan Leverett, they're two fabulous outsides, each in their careers with more than 1,000 kills, hit better than 300. What was going on with your right side block against their outsides?
You know, I just thought their outsides are physical and they do a nice job. They're very different. Like Sheridan Leverett's a real physical player. She was a top 10 recruit back in the day and has been so talented, been great for UCLA. So that's just a really good player. It's not going to be easy to stop her. And then Maggie Lee, I played against her and watched a lot of film on her when she was at Cal in the ACC, and she always was so good. And she was the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year when Cal was in the Pac-12, and then she went on to UCLA to be great. And she's just so crafty, so smart, and they're just really different. You're going up against a really physical outside versus a very smart IQ, somebody that can tool the block outside. So that's tough. It's tough for the right side blockers because they are so, so different.
And then their offense, Terry Pettit online was talking about how Kate Duffy had a fabulous match as a setter. Did you see something from her that you hadn't seen in tape getting ready for the UCLA match?
No, I just thought she played great.
UCLA and the Huskers, it went 4-3-1, Big Red. I marvel often when a libero is able almost single-handedly to slow down Nebraska. And what impact do you think Lola Schumacher had in that match?
Oh, I thought she was fantastic. Just the beginning of the game, she had some really great digs, and that set the tone for them. We talk about things that set the tone for our team. And, you know, when Tereya Siegler gets a kill early on in the match, and I think that is a great indicator of our offense humming. Well, when Lola Schumacher gets a great dig from one of Harper's best swings, you know that they're here to play and she's ready to go. And I think that set the tone for them defensively.
Late in set two, there was a close call. 21-19 Nebraska. Maggie Lee hits the ball out of bounds. She goes over to her head coach and Albie Reft and begs for a challenge. And he had two challenges left, but decided not to challenge it. 21-19 becomes 22-19. And if he had gotten a reversal, it would have been 21-20. The ensuing serve, it's an ace for Nebraska, 23-19. You know, the set's pretty much over at that point. Were you surprised that he didn't challenge at that moment?
Yeah, I mean, I was very surprised. But touches are really hard. They tend to be very tough to see on camera, which makes it a little tough to challenge it. But even so, I was surprised that he didn't use it as at least a timeout. And you know, we did actually touch that ball, so lucky for us that it did not get challenged.
So it would have been a reversal, but in a two-point
swing. Well, they would have had to see it on video, which is questionable. Gotcha. Because she did hit it, like, straight in the air, so it would have probably been a tough one to see on video.
All about the pixels. Now, hold on. How do you know it was a touch? When you huddle up during the challenge, do the players kind of admit what's going on, what happened? Touched it. No, I wouldn't.
But usually they say they're not going to see it on video, or they will see it on video. So they kind of know.
you guys camouflage that? Because what if, like, the floor official's pretending to look at the screen, but he's kind of eavesdropping on your conversation, and how do you make sure that's all camouflaged?
Oh, we get in a tight circle. And then, you know, you have to be pretty good at lip reading, and it's very, you know, almost like a ventriloquist, like talking with no lips moving.
So maybe like an offensive coordinator, you guys like cover your mouths during this huddle. Yeah. Okay, so you want to make sure you're not cut, because that could be a giveaway. All right. So you were told there was a touch. Who is the guilty party on that one?
I honestly can't remember. I just know they're like, oh yeah, that was a touch.
But don't worry about it, coach. Not going to catch me.
Well, they didn't even challenge it, so.
So it was a moot point.
Yeah.
All right. So have you ever said no to a player begging you for a challenge?
Oh, of course. I think it depends on the score or the situation, how many challenges you have left. So I've definitely said no before. And, you know, sometimes I think coaches have a better idea of what's going to be seen on video and what's not. So
how are relations between you and that player for the next game or so? How long did it take to kind of patch things up after you said no to a group?
Players usually get it because they know. I mean, with only two challenges, too, you don't want to be wasting them.
So in that match, the Husker right side and second outside struggled. It was Virginia Adriano, and then Ali Check came in for Virginia, and then Taylor Lanfair. Offensively, they struggled. And then against USC, both were on fire, put up huge offensive numbers. So I'm just wondering, is that correlated? Is it causal? Are they indicators? Like, with all our attention on the All-Americans, Harper and Andy and Bergen, are those really the players whose offensive production is most indicative of how Nebraska will play that day?
No, I don't think so. You know, and I don't think Virginia played poorly. I think it's interesting that narrative got out. She had, you know, like five attempts. So I feel like she would have finished the match on a great note. But we wanted to get Allie in. That was our plan going into that game, to get Allie some quality playing time. And you know, I thought Taylor, same with her, didn't get the best opportunities early on. And then against USC, just a little bit of a game plan to set her early on some good passes, get her rolling. And like I said, we knew Virginia would be fine.
So Danny Busman, Kelly, close set two. If they get that challenge in a reverse, it's a one-point ball game, 21-20 late in the second. Then you drop set three, 25-19, siding out at just a 44% percentage. You pull Bergen over at the end of set three. What was that conversation about? Or can you share that with us?
It wasn't anything groundbreaking. It was just, you know, this. We're talking 4 days ago, JB. I don't remember. It was, you know, hey, let's get back to playing our game. We have to work a little bit harder. We're getting out works, and we got plenty of time to turn this around and end on a high note.
Do you remember what the huddle was like after set three? And this has not happened in more than 2 months.
No, I do not remember.
Okay. Let me come right back here to talk about USC as the Big Red swept USC 2 days after taking down UCLA in four. This one is brought to you by Central Valley Ag. Your calves deserve a strong start, and Purina Stress Care 5 delivers. Now available at Central Valley Ag, Stress Care 5 with RX3 immune support technology is here for all producers. Learn more at cvacoop.com. Central Valley Ag, the official co-op of Husker Nation. And contact 811 2 days before you dig to protect your underground utilities and yourself. It's free. It's easy. It is the law. Nebraska, 811, 2 days before you dig. Stay right there. More Nebraska Volleyball Show after you hear this. Welcome back to your Nebraska Volleyball Show. I'm John Baylor with the head coach, Danny Busman Kelly. Hey, big news. We got a request through the mailbag, all right, through Twitter, now called X, that we would take these Nebraska Volleyball Shows and turn them into podcasts. So here's how you can find the podcast version of this Nebraska Volleyball Show. And that would be just go to your favorite platform where you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, and then search Huskers Radio Network, and boom, we're going to be right there. I'm John Baylor, continuing our conversation with the head coach of Nebraska Volleyball, Danny Busman Kelly. Both of us excited to get to the mailbag for more questions momentarily. But let's talk about this USC matinee. The place was packed for a 12 noon local time start, and the Huskers just came out rolling. Do you think the adversity from Friday night has had a happy carryover ever since?
I feel like it had a pretty good carryover. We played really well. We felt like we really wanted to you know, make a statement. I thought the crowd, like, getting amped up because there's so many Husker fans there was huge. So a lot of reasons why we came out on fire.
How do you guys feel about UCLA trumpeting online that they, in fact, taken a set off Nebraska? A huge deal.
Nobody on our team said a word about it.
So. Okay. All right. So what was the secret for USC in that match? Because it was not particularly close, 25-13, 25-16, and 25-20, holding USC to just a 1.56 attack percentage.
Honestly, we've just worked harder. I thought our team played great defense, and that's a good indication of how hard we're going to work. I thought Bergen played great. So just a combo of just being better on both sides of the ball and, you know, making every point count.
In that match, more balance from Nebraska, 10 kills for Harper, 10 for Taylor, 10 for Virginia, 9 for Rebecca, 8 for Andy Jackson. I get asked, and you should be the one being asked, how do we know when the setter is playing a great match? What are the indicators to the layperson who's kind of watching the attackers and the ball hitting the ground and the cheering? And at the end of the match, they hear, oh, the setter played a great match. What were the indicators that they missed during the match?
I think balance is really important, you know, and that, you know, the setters are feeling comfortable to set anybody at any time. I think a setter, if they're going back and hitting their serve, that means they're playing well and feeling confident. I think there's a lot of indicators. I think those might change from game to game. Like, are we really following the game plan, or are we just reverting to what's comfortable? We're setting go balls or setting one player all the time. So really, balance probably would be the biggest indicator, especially for this team. But sometimes we have a specific game plan, so you can't say that every single match.
Some game plans suggest that you want Bergen to go to one or two players primarily and not be particularly balanced.
Yeah, it depends on if they have a big weakness blocking. It's like, why would we switch it up if we have a player that we think can dominate in this zone?
Now, you got Manaya Obeche in there. She's an L.A. native. And when she went in there, a bunch of people stood up. So we knew she had four younger siblings, but she's got a bigger family than that. They were all standing up going crazy. She gets a kill right away. Then she gets a block right away. And the players that were on the bench at the time, and there are 11 of them, sprint out there. I thought they were going to go on the court as if they had won the final rally. What was your reaction to the reaction of your players to that big
block? I thought it was awesome. Just a total team, you know, teammates supporting teammates, and that block was very, very impressive. So to see her just absolutely, I was like, she unleashed on that block. So there's no chance to cover it. So not only was everybody excited for her being home in front of her family to make some great plays, but that good of a block, I think, set everybody over the top.
Danny Busbum-Kelly joining us for team 26-0, 16-0 in the conference. And four matches, two weekends to go. Thursday night, Iowa 7 o'clock at the Devaney. Saturday, late afternoon, 5 o'clock against Indiana. The Hoosiers are number 17 in the ABCA, number 18 in the RPI. Now, Coach, I got to ask you about this upcoming SEC conference tournament. This is pretty remarkable. On Friday, you're going to have in Savannah, Georgia, all 16 SEC teams start this tournament, and seeds 9 through 16 will play each other. The four winners then on Saturday will play seeds 5 through 8. The four winners then on Sunday will play seeds 1, 2, 3, and 4, Kentucky, Texas, Texas A&M, and Tennessee. Those two winners will play the semifinals on Monday, and the championship will be on Tuesday. So from Friday night till Tuesday, I think the volleyball world is largely going to be focused on the SEC in this big tournament in Savannah, Georgia. And how interested are you in seeing how this all turns out, what kind of tension it gets?
Yeah, super interested. I think it's going to kind of set a precedent for the other conferences if this is something we might want to do. Yeah, I think there's pros and cons, of course, like anything. It's great for the sport. It's hopefully great TV ratings. We'll see. But you lose some home games. It really makes it hard to play that many games in a row right before the tournament, NCAA tournament. However, they're done by Tuesday, so they have a big break. But on top of that big break, sometimes that's good and bad, you know, to have 12 days off before you play your next match. That's pretty unique in our sport. So very curious how it plays out. I think the SEC has been an unbelievably strong conference this year. Anything could really happen. And I think those top four seeds, any four of them could win easily. You know, there's not a clear favorite in that tournament, which makes it even more fun and hopefully, you know, a good thing for the sport of volleyball that somebody's not going to go in there and dominate the whole tournament.
Carlin Grandin wants to hear from the coach on her former team, Louisville. Louisville was ahead of the opponent when they were called for out of rotation. Who for Nebraska is responsible for noticing when a team is out of rotation? And how many points can a team lose if out of rotation?
You know, that's really on the players to know. It's kind of on all the coaches, but you know, it's really a brain fart for the players if they're out of rotation, especially if they're just standing there. You know, sometimes you might get called out of rotation for leaving early, but usually refs are pretty good. If they feel like you're doing it too much, they'll warn you. So typically the refs will give a warning and then call an out of rotation. Sometimes they don't. So we don't have anybody directly in charge of that, but you can only lose 1 point. It's just like an error. It goes down as an error on the stats. So 1 point. It's not worth more than one.
So like, oh, out of rotation, sets over, you lose. Yeah, yeah. It's just a single point penalty for being out of rotation. And the key is you got to make sure your feet are crossed, correct? Or next to each other.
Yes.
So you can't have space. But if you're supposed to be the left of Jane and you're, and my bottom line is this, if you're not, your feet aren't crossed and you're on the wrong side of her, that's
out of rotation.
That's
out of rotation.
Can you give a slightly more sophisticated explanation than I just did?
It's just like, you got to stay in your spot and you can't leave early.
And leaving early would be prior to the serve.
Serve, yes. So you have to wait until contact.
Yeah, once the ball's airborne, you can roll.
It's kind of like softball, right? You can't leave the base until the ball's out of the pitcher's hand. You could get called for leaving early. Isn't that a thing?
And totally is a thing.
Yeah, so same thing. If the ball has to hit the server's hand, then you can leave.
I never dreamed Danny Bustle and Kelly would ask me a softball question, but this is an exciting moment.
That was a little bit of sarcasm.
But how often in softball do they cheat and leave the bases early, and how often in volleyball do they do
the same
thing?
Probably a lot, but I'm guessing the same with volleyball. The ump is probably like, hey, you're leaving early too much, the next one I'm going to call. So that's what happens in volleyball.
With softball, you got a huge advantage. Is there much of an advantage to leave a little early?
Oh, for sure. And when you're on serve receive, there's an advantage. Especially like libero's trying to poach balls. So, you know, before I got to Nebraska, you know, Lexi Rodriguez was trying to poach everything, and there'd be players standing out of bounds for Nebraska when the serve was hit. And I was like, how is this not getting called? So it happens a lot in volleyball. And like Andy Jackson, if she can leave early and get over to the right side of the court to run a more efficient slide, you know, of course you want to toe the line pretty tight. But when you're serving, there's no advantage. So like in the pros, there you can stand wherever you want when you are serving. Now, when you're receiving serve, you have to be in rotation.
Now, hold on. Many of us were not aware that Lexi was infringing the rules of volleyball when she was playing it. And walk us through again, what was she doing that wasn't...
Oh, here we go. So she was just like, when they were serving, she was trying to push a player out so she could take the serve. So, okay, they're lining up, they're trying to serve Harper. Okay, Lexi can see that. So she's going to start creeping over there and Harper's going to start creeping out of her spot slowly.
Gotcha.
But if you do that before the serve is actually hit, that's out of rotation. But it's very hard to call... even when you watch, you know, because there's so many moving parts. So even when you watch on video, it's like, well, it can look bad live, but it's really not that bad on video. So that's why it does not get called very often.
Which team gets called for out of rotation more often, the serving team or the receiving team?
Receiving team. Now, because we did get called when I was at Louisville as the serving team, and I thought that was a poor call by the official.
And when was this?
In the national championship game.
You got called for being out of rotation.
When we were serving and our DS was just standing on the wrong side.
Did you get a yellow card?
I don't think so. Maybe.
Have you ever gotten a yellow card?
One.
What happened?
I don't. We don't need to go down memory lane.
Okay. All right, we're going to keep going to the mailbag on this. Your Nebraska volleyball show, Huskers undefeated, number one in the country, getting ready to face Indiana Saturday and Iowa at home on Thursday. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to your Nebraska Volleyball Show. Hey, this is brought to you by League One Volleyball, which is coming to Omaha this January, featuring Olympic gold medalist Jordan Larson. The 2026 Love Nebraska Volleyball schedule is here. More matches means more chances to see your favorite pro volleyball athletes like Lexi Rodriguez, Jordan. View the full schedule at lovbneb.com/schedule. lovbneb.com/schedule. And Sports Nightly listeners, a reminder that with every block on the court this season, Union Bank and Trust is proud to sponsor Blocking Out Hunger, benefiting the Food Bank of Lincoln. Union Bank and Trust, member FDIC. All right, Danny Bush from Kelly, head coach of basketball and ball. This comes from Eric at Husker Insanity. Whoa. Eric wants to know, during your playing days, who on your team would have enjoyed posting videos on Instagram and TikTok a lot?
Who would have enjoyed it, or who would have I enjoyed it with?
Yeah, who was born too early and missed out on this whole I'm a Husker and TikTok is here and I'm going to start singing a word that is syncing to songs and putting music behind me and then posting and then we're going to do some loop-de-loop dances and post it and get a million likes. Who was born too early?
That is a great question. I would say, like, Danny Mancuso, I feel like would have been a great on social media. She would have been funny and... she was a pretty good dancer, too, so that fits for TikTok.
She had done the noodle. You guys are pretty good at the noodle. Like, she like they're just getting ready. Now, like, Harper and her buddies, they get in front of this, and they just do kind of a loop-de-loop, and then 500,000 likes.
I know. It's wild.
And then if they pull, if they do like a little flapping wing thing, another 100,000.
I mean, you should get on there and make a parody account just teasing all the people making TikToks. Yeah. I feel like that could get some good momentum going.
I recently learned about getting ready with Maisie. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yes.
Maisie's getting ready and she's, you know, she's putting on product and all this stuff and everyone's hammering the like, they're going crazy. And like the thumbs, they like the upward bound thumbs are flying. Anyway, I'm thinking getting ready with JB.
Now, Kelly and I should start a parody account. Like, let's just tease the players, everything they do. We'll make another one that'll be kind of joking. I think the fans would love it.
I agree. Wait, when does this start? Is this going to be before the Iowa match?
Maybe.
before you put on that, what's that red floral jacket you like to wear? Before you throw that on, then you start getting ready with Danny Bus.
Now, we got a lot of ideas for next year. Brennan and I are big popcorn fans, so we are going to do popcorn reviews of everywhere we go. We started that a little too late, and then it was awkward. We're like, we gotta think about this before we really go all in on the popcorn review, because, you know, Terea and Ryan Hunter have the Gatorade review. So I was like, let's take it up a notch. Let's go popcorn review.
Okay. I don't know if you need actually a lot of forethought, come to think of it. I think these things are pretty
like categories like crunchiness, how much butter, saltiness.
Smart. And the key is to bring Bergen in. Bergen's always kind of on the side doing her little hula hoopy like arm things, and the people like that too.
We'll definitely make sure the players get in there so we can get the likes hammered, as you like to say.
That's my role on social media. I just hammer the likes and get out of there. All right. Meanwhile, if you had to vote right now for Big Ten Coach of the Year, I got six candidates for you. Ready? Okay.
Don't you ask me this every show?
Some people missed last week's show. All right. So Trent Kirsten, Oregon, Kristen Kelsey, Michigan State, Dave Shondell, Purdue, Keegan Cook, Minnesota, Steve Arrett, Indiana, Danny Bus from Kelly, Nebraska.
Well, I can't vote for myself, so that's out. But
you would have never won for fourth grade class president. But anyway, go ahead.
I thought that is the rule for the coach voting. You cannot vote for yourself or anybody on your team. So right, I'm going to apply those rules. But yes. I got to go with Trent Kirsten. Just, man, only returning one player, doing what they're doing. I think they're playing great late. It's not a team that fizzled out. So I got to go with him. But it's a tight race. A lot of great coaching jobs under some interesting circumstances this year in the Big Ten.
I think it still would have been fun to go to an Oregon team meeting back in January. Just one player shows up. All righty. Speaking of Oregon, they beat Purdue, number 9 in the country, and their RPI drops from 49th to 51st. Meanwhile, North Carolina is ranked in the ABCA number 15, but in RPI, they're number 41. What's your feeling about the RPI?
It's just an easy thing to kind of game a little bit. Not easy, but if you schedule right, it's based on wins, you can get some big boosts from some teams that aren't ranked because their RPI is good. So, but I understand that there's really not a perfect way to measure a team when they're not, everybody's not playing each other.
How do you game it? Like, how do you, like, are you familiar with exactly what the attributes they're looking for?
Not really, but I just know you want to play teams that get a lot of wins. So, you know, like a team like Northern Iowa, who typically wins their conference, they could upset some, you know, top 25 teams in the non-conference. That's a great team to play because you're going to get a great RPI boost and you're going to take all their wins in with your, with you.
Your Nebraska Volleyball Show is brought to you by Woodhouse, always a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse, the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. And the Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is not only swanky, it is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. Final thoughts with the head coach, Danny Busham-Kelly, on your Nebraska Volleyball Show after you hear this. Welcome back to your Nebraska Volleyball Show. Hope you've been with us all 2 hours. We had the athletic director just prior at this hour, the head coach of Nebraska Volleyball, Danny Busboom-Kelly. My name's John Baylor, reminding you, Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse, the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Danny Busboom-Kelly, head coach of the Big Red, getting ready for Iowa Thursday night at home and then Sunday late afternoon on the road against ranked number 16, hold everything, number 17, Indiana out there in Bloomington. Coach, staying with the RPI, you've got seven Big Ten teams which seem to be guaranteed to make the NCAA tournament because typically RPI, if you're higher than 45, you know, 46, 47, 48, you're on the bubble and possibly out. But if you're lower, 44, 43, 42, you're probably in. And that would be Nebraska, Wisconsin, Purdue, USC, Indiana, Minnesota, and Penn State. They seem pretty guaranteed to be in. But I want your thoughts on these bubble teams for the Big Ten. Michigan, for the moment, number 35. UCLA, 38. Michigan State, 42. Illinois, 44. Washington, 50. Oregon, 51. Do you think maybe of those six, two get in? Maybe Michigan and UCLA or Michigan State?
I feel like yes, they will get in. I think those teams have a pretty good resume, and you can't fault them for kind of beating up on each other. So we'll see. You never really know what the committee is going to do or what they're going to value. I know top 50 wins are super important, and I would not know like who those teams beat in the non-conference, who is going to end up being top 50. So anyways, we'll see. I would think two of them would get in.
You are three matches ahead in the Big Ten conference race over Purdue and Wisconsin. You win on Thursday night, you're guaranteed a share. You win then again on Saturday. It's Nebraska's third consecutive and Big Ten championship and sixth overall since joining the conference in 2011 versus a national championship. How close is a Big Ten title in priority for you and the team?
I don't think it's very close at all. A Big Ten title is just a icing on the cake. I feel like a reward for a great season, but people forget about that Big Ten title pretty quickly when the national champion is crowned.
Will there be a trophy ready to go in case you win on Thursday night against Iowa?
You know, no, I don't think we're going to celebrate a shared, you know, championship, and especially when there's plenty of time left and when we finish up our season with two games at home. So it seems a little premature. If we weren't at home that last weekend, I would say yes, you know, we'd want to celebrate it with our fans. But since we have two other opportunities, we'll probably wait even if we do win on Thursday.
You have four more regular season matches, at most 10 more matches left in this year. Do you coach any differently now? And do you coach any differently once December starts?
I think we plan practices a little differently. We'll get like into playing a lot quicker and game planning. You know, we've done our training. Of course, we're always going to brush up on the basics, but those little bursts of training might be shorter. As we want to get through things a little bit quicker, we know school's getting tougher, the weather's changing, people are getting run down. We just came off a time zone, so we don't want to be in the gym for 3.5 hours tonight. We want to make sure we're in and out, efficient, and we're focused on our opponent and maybe one or two things that we can do better from the weekend.
You have 4 seniors on your team with at most 10 matches left in their college careers. Allie Check, Maisie Bosinger, star of Getting Ready with Maisie, Taylor Landfair, and Rebecca Alec. They know what's at stake. They're feeling it. Do you go speak with them individually, or you don't need any special communications with those who are finishing up their careers in the next?
Yeah. I don't think there's really any special communications. It's going to be an awesome senior night, of course, and celebrating their careers, and we'll chat with them. But 10 games seems short, but you know, they have a lot of games in Devaney left, which is exciting, and we'll have those emotional conversations closer to the end.
Iowa, a hugely improved team. We should have probably had Jim Barnes in the list of 7 who are candidates for conference coach of the year. They're probably going to be left out of the NCAA tournament, but they're 14-14, 5-11 in the conference. And there are those 13 5-set matches. 6 of their last 7 matches have gone 5. Is this a scary team?
For sure. I think any team that continues to play well, like you said, they know they're probably out of the tournament, but they're continuing to battle and push teams and just beat Purdue. So it's a team that is playing well, and they obviously have outside motivators besides the NCAA tournament to continue with what they're doing. So I think they'll be ready for us and excited, and you know, playing with nothing to lose is also there's something freeing about that.
Indiana's got 4 wins against ranked teams. Real quickly, how much preparation are you going to put in for Indiana and when?
Oh, a ton of preparation. We'll start on them today. I mean, they have a super fast offense, by far the fastest we've played, so it takes a while to prep for a team like that. So we'll start early with them, and thankful for the day off between the matches to have a little extra refresh on Friday.
Danny Busman-Kelly, thanks so much. Best of luck Thursday and Sunday and
Saturday.
Thank
you.
That's the head coach in Nebraska volleyball, trying to go 27 and then 28-0 this week. Illinois, hold everything, Iowa on Thursday night, and then Indiana on the road on Saturday. For my producer, Josh Elkman, my name is John Baylor. Good night, Nebraska.